Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's a victory Monday. The Bears are 2-0, 17-13, on to Atlanta for week three. A lot of good debate going on through the first hour. 312-332-3776.
You know, one of the, I mean, we talked about it, but maybe the most important commodity of all, based on what has transpired in the first 2 weeks, is that this team is relatively healthy.
Yes. And what's going on in the league, I heard Greeny talk about it. Hey, like, it's tough to just say, well, it's all because there was no real long training camp and there was no preseason and there was no OTAs. Maybe it is because of that, but a lot of years you and I have sat here saying, boy, it seems like injuries are up this year. But boy, oh boy, this was a terrible week two for a lot of players, good players in the NFL.
Well, I think that may have been what caught everyone's eye, is it's the most recognizable guys. Like, I don't think that Nick Bosa tears his ACL, if that's what he did, because of no training camp. Like, I don't think Saquon Barkley tore his ACL yesterday in the Bears game because of no training camp. I just think, I don't know if they're, through 2 weeks, the number of injuries are up. It's just the number of injuries to marquee players, for some reason, has really developed early in this season.
All right, I have a poll out there, too, as far as what grade you would give the Bears through 2 weeks, 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6, whether you want to rave about them at 2-0 and just be happy with the record and that they're healthy, or you want to dive deeper and say this hasn't looked good so far. I told you before the break, Pro Football Focus, shout out to one of our listeners for sending me this, too, Sam Monson, one of the premier writers for Pro Football Focus, who's been very tough on Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if you've seen this, Waddle. Let me read you some excerpts from it. It says, through 2 weeks, Trubisky has played at a level we haven't seen him in a long time. He earned an 80.2 Pro Football Focus grade against the Giants. That's his single game, that's his best single game grade since week 12 of 2018. All of a sudden, Trubisky was the one being let down by his teammates, not the other way around. He completed 64.3% of his passes, but he had two key passes dropped, both on third down and one, which would have been an absolute dime of a touchdown. And we talked about that, the Anthony Miller throw. That was one of the best throws of the year by Mitch, maybe of his career. It goes on Pro Football Focus. It's important to temper this positivity with the realization that this performance came against the New York Giants, whose defense is far from good, and that we are still way away from talking about Trubisky as the player that will elevate the play of those around him. But that is missing the main point. If the Bears can get passable quarterback play from their young passer, and so far this year they have, they will be transformed into something far different than what they were expected to be entering the season. Suddenly, the receiving core of Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, and others is a group that can actually do damage to opposing defenses, as opposed to being looked on as an untapped resource that could change games only if they had somebody who could get them the football. And then he goes on to say that the offensive line is playing much better, because a lot of that is in relation to their quarterback doing some good things as well. And then they go on to say that Khalil Mack, first of all, his first two games, 12 total pressures and a grade above 90 in both games. So they're saying that Khalil Mack's played great, but a lot there, Waddle. And they're looking at the positives out of this instead of the negatives.
They scored 0 points yesterday in the second half against a bad Giants team. Like, that's not all on Mitch, but he has to share some of the blame for it. That's all I can tell you. 0 points against the Giants in the second half.
But Greg Braggs wants to weigh in. He's Mitch's biggest supporter this side of Cap. Braggs, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, boys? Victory Monday. Shout out to my guy, Caleb. So, here, first off, before we get to Mitch, Waddle, you're 100% right. The ball was underthrown, and when Robinson took it in, you know, the DB just makes a nice play. So, Mitch could have put a little more on it. Robinson maybe could have brought it down. But the DB, you know, ultimately made a great play. Now, on to Mitch. My take is his leash is getting longer. I mean, it's crazy how it happened. But now I see at least to game five at this point. And if he continues to win, the leash might completely be gone. To me, if he wins two of the next three games, he's made it to the halfway point of the season. So, you know, but here's the question I wanted to ask you guys. If the last two plays resulted in a touchdown and not incompletions, is Mitch Trubisky being benched right now, all things considered, on how he's played?
What do you mean? Wait, what was your last question?
If they would have lost on the last play of the game to the Lions and then lost
and
on
everything
the
was the same.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so.
So that's what I'm saying. So now that's why I was always rooting for him to get the job. We saw the soft schedule to start the year. Foles probably would have squeaked out a couple wins here. These were two bad teams. They all got to play better, offensively and defensively. But Waddle will be the first one to tell you, most teams build on momentum. Nobody wins a championship in September. They just got to get increasingly better each month. That's all Bears fans are going to ask for. You know, Waddle said, be average. You know, at this point, that's what they are. They can play a little above average, then we're going to throw a freaking parade. So I like what I see so far, but absolutely, they got to get better. They got to try to play a more complete game. You're not going to play full four quarters. We're not the Chiefs, but certainly more than what we've seen. But I'm happy where they are. I'm a little nervous about this Falcons game as far as a trap game, but I'll take it all day long. And,
trap,
you know,
I don't think it's a trap game, though. I mean, like,
I do,
you know,
but
that
the Falcons 0-2.
Well, they're 0-2, but they've scored a lot of points. Like, the Bears are surprised by anything, that guy is coaching for his job right now.
Well, they play the Packers the following week too, so they got to. If they lose on Sunday, they're going to more than likely be 0-4 to start the season. Because I believe they go to Green Bay in week four, don't they? Don't they go to Green Bay, the Falcons?
The Falcons, I believe so.
So I think you're going to get as focused an effort as possible. Look, I'm just telling you, and I'm not blaming all on Mitch. What I'm saying to you is, in eight quarters of football offensively, you've gotten three good quarters and five not good quarters.
My problem is, I look around the league, right? And we always compare it to other teams. Let's just listen to the scores of the winning teams from Thursday and yesterday. 35 for the Browns, 40 for the Cowboys, 42 for the Packers, 33 for the Titans, 28 for the Colts, 31 for the Bills, 31 for the 49ers, 37 from the Rams, 26 from the Steelers, 31 from the Bucks, 30 from the Cardinals, 23 in a close game in overtime for the Chiefs, 33 from the Ravens, 35 from the Seahawks against a supposedly very good Patriots defense. So
how about the 49ers score 31 points without pretty much their entire team?
17 against the Giants isn't going to get it done against any other team.
That's my concern. So when you ask me yes, I'm thrilled they're 2-0. My fear is that what they've done in the first 2 weeks, and we could spread it out, not just offense, but defensively, against better teams, you're not going to beat teams doing what they've done the first 2 weeks.
All right, Barry on the Dan Ryan. Barry, I believe you would like to preach to the choir, at least as far as I'm concerned. Barry, you talk, I'll listen.
Hey, good afternoon. First of all, and I'm going to say this from a happily married man, Sylvie, I'm glad that you're still here and still on the radio world, because it's a better place with you, and I mean that from my heart, my friend.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate that.
No problem. So let me do a couple of things. So first of all, you guys were talking about the defense. The Pittsburgh Steelers played the Giants last week, right?
Yes.
And they have probably the best defense in the league, and they have their starters pretty much intact and everything else. And they pretty much played the Giants the same way that the Bears did, and they actually wound up giving up more points, and the Giants had a last-minute drive going in that game, too, if I remember. But the other thing, too, that I want to point out is that I watched last night, and it really bothered me to watch the $1 million man put up almost 400 yards in that game last night. The Bears really have mismanaged money, and I think they've mismanaged personnel, because Nagy, I think Tom is the one who always says that this is a copycat league, and it seems like if he can't run that Andy Reid offense, then he doesn't know how to adjust. If you look at Jim Harbaugh up there in Baltimore, he realized what he had with Lamar Jackson. No offense to Lamar Jackson, he's probably not the sharpest tool in the shed, but what he did was he adjusted to what he had. And now look what he's doing with that defense. Nagy is stubborn, won't make any adjustments, and I don't think that he really wants Mitch to succeed, because he didn't, you know, want him in the draft to begin with, and this is what this issue is going to be for the longest. I'll hang up and listen.
Barry, the one thing I would say is I think Matt's been much better through 2 weeks than he was all of 2019, tailoring this offense around Mitch. You see much less shotgun action. You have seen them commit to running the football. He, for whatever reason, I know he addressed this in his press conference meeting the media today. I was not a fan of seeing them throw the ball third and one and fourth and one. Like they went they went probably 40 yards down the field pounding the rock with David Montgomery.
Didn't he design a play that got the running back wide open for a little screen? Like, isn't that 101 that we talk about? Like, is it his fault that Mitch can't recognize Montgomery's
wide point.
Open?
It's outcome bias.
Or do you say to yourself, look, I fool me once, shame on me. Whatever the saying is, shame on. But the point is maybe he
don't mess with Texas.
Don't mess with Texas. I turned into George Bush there for a second.
That's fine.
That he maybe shouldn't be designing plays for Mitch to make a decision. Just like you've said, see it, throw it. That's when he's at his best. Call a run, hand it off. Like when you have to decide, hey, I got to look to Montgomery for that. Maybe that's the wrong play, but that's a shame that that's a wrong play when you have designed a play to get the running back open.
It's totally fair. What does Stacey King say? Know your personnel. You know, if you have any question at all that Mitch isn't going to go through his progressions and see David Montgomery, then just pound the ball because you got to where you were on the field late in that game by running the football.
Can we get to Cam here really quick? And I don't want to harp on it. Maybe tomorrow we could talk more about it. This isn't from a guy who is saying, I've seen him now, and now I'm pounding the Bears. We've talked about this on this show since we were sitting on Radio Row, and a Kansas City Chief member told us he felt that the Bears should trade for or sign Cam Newton, depending on what would happen. And I was an advocate of that all year. And I understood that it was COVID. And I knew he had injuries. And you probably weren't going to get him for $1 million of what the New England Patriots got him for. But I always thought that the money was going to be worth the risk. For the price that they gave to a backup running back just now on a contract extension with Tariq Cohen, they could have had Cam Newton on their team, probably for less. They gave him a $9 million guarantee, Tariq Cohen. How many touches does he get in a year? Cam Newton is a former MVP, and if you would have paid him $3 to $5 million in a prove-it year, he probably would have signed with you. I thought all of it was worth it. It's the price that you've paid more for an over-the-hill Jimmy Graham, an underutilized Tariq Cohen. I don't understand. Like, the lemmings in this league that just follow the pack, that just say, well, no one else likes Cam anymore, so I'm not going to follow like Cam anymore. It's so dumb, the scouting of people who just follow the pack. And shame on all of them for looking at Cam Newton and not giving him a chance and trading for a guy and giving up a fourth-round pick when you could have had a guy who was motivated and wanted to do it. And if he failed, so be it, because the cost wasn't going to cost you a draft pick. I just don't get it. I don't get it, guys. This isn't coming from a guy who's sitting here on September whatever, 21st, saying, look, in hindsight, it should. I've told you guys from the start, look to Cam. Pay for a guy where there's a lot of talent there, and maybe if you find him in the right place at the right time, it's gonna blossom.
I don't think
you
Ryan
would have had to have been willing to play him and get rid of Mitch at
right.
that point.
I don't
which
think
is
Ryan
fine.
Pace wanted someone to come in who would absolutely outshine him in camp. Like, I don't think he wanted to do
shame
that.
Shame on him then.
Yeah.
Shame
absolutely.
On him for not hiring the best quarterback or trying to hire the best quarterback.
That's the reason
then.
Bridgewater didn't even consider us. It's because he's like, I'm better than him. I don't need to be in competition.
I think the biggest issue with Cam for most of these teams, and again, Sylvia, you're right, nobody knew where he was physically. We've had somebody attached to the team tell us that 1 year, a couple of years ago, he didn't even throw in practice until Fridays.
Right. I even said to you, and maybe this is boobish, but for the price of what it would have cost, I would have brought in a third quarterback. You're paying Tariq Cohen this money. I'd rather take a chance on a quarterback than that could be a win because of guy than start giving contract extensions to backup running backs. I don't get it. 332-3776. We'll discuss the Tariq Cohen contract and a Victory Monday on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It is a Victory Monday. Waddle's inside the First Midwest Bank studio.
That's where I do on Monday. I come in and celebrate.
You can watch him on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. A lot of interaction there.
It's a lot of angry football fans in a lot of NFL cities right now based on what they saw from Cam Newton last night.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so I want to get to Brad in Naperville. Then you react, Waddle, because he wants to talk about the Tariq Cohen contract extension. Brad, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One thing, you know, listening to this, and it does annoy me for what, you know, they paid Tariq Cohen. You know, they wouldn't go after Cam Newton. But we had some other talks before about, you know, them not paying running backs. You know, we lost Forte because they wouldn't pay him, right? And they didn't want to pay running backs. And, you know, the way they kind of put it out there, it's, you know, they can kind of get them a dime a dozen. So they're going to go pay this money to a backup running back, not go after Cam Newton. Yet in the past, we've lost great running backs like Forte for them not paying them. So what the hell is going through their heads? I don't understand.
I don't think it was a money issue with Cam. I mean, like, I don't think they would have been unhappy to pay him $1 million or $2 million or $3 or $4. They made a decision not to bring him in for whatever reason. It wasn't about money. I would make Brad, I would make the connection to Allen Robinson. Why are you willing to give $6 million a year to a backup running back who also returns punts and is pretty good at it? I get it, but more of a gadget type player. Like, this is what I said. If you think Allen Robinson's only worth $16 million, just for example, but he wants $18 million, well, then you should have only given Tariq $4 million instead of $6 million a year and given the other $2 million a year to Allen Robinson because he's more meaningful to your offense. So, like, right. I don't understand the budgeting. Like, again, it's $6 million to Tariq Cohen is not going to break their bank. That's not the point. It's not the point that they can't afford it. It is when you start to slot salaries, it just didn't make a ton of sense based on what you have there. So
I also thought it was bad optics. And I know, Waddle, you said you don't care about the optics. I think it's bad optics after an entire week of your number one wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers in the game, saying a rumor comes out that he may or may want to trade. He's liking tweets about people saying he should leave and go play for a better quarterback and he'd get more money. And then you're like, oh, here, Tariq, have some money. It's like, you could have waited until after you locked up Allen Robinson.
You can't do business that way.
Yes, you can. Why not?
It's not necessary. Why do you have to worry about that? If they sign Allen Robinson to an extension next week, that's all meaningless.
Of course it is. But right now, you do that right before a game, and you're like, well, what about Allen? And then he doesn't have a great game to begin with, and you're like, well,
question is, why are they, optics, whatever, why are they paying him like a mid-level running back?
That's
I heard Carmen and Yurko and Cap talk about this morning. I think he's slotted like as like the 15th or 16th highest paid running back.
There's your issue.
All running backs, especially when they're not, pay him on the rookie deal, and then you draft another one. Tariq Cohen was drafted where in the fifth round?
Fourth round, 119th pick. I don't know. Yeah, God bless you, because I'm happy that all players go and get their money, but I don't.
I
thought
feel
it was
like
kind
they
of odd
use
as well.
Him like they do, like they did in 2018, even.
Well, he's not going to run between the tackles effectively. I mean, there are a play here and there, but I want to see those carries given to David Montgomery, or for crying out loud, I think Cordarrelle Patterson is a more effective running back in terms of running the ball.
He's been good. Yeah, he's looked better this year running the football. Anthony on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. We're good.
You know, you guys opened up another can of worms with this Cam Newton situation. Let me tell you why. Let me explain something to you. Ryan Pace has issues. And one of the issues that he has that no one wants to recognize is an African-American quarterback. Okay? Now, he had a chance to get four African-American quarterbacks. Patrick down in KC, Deshaun Watson. Prescott was drafted in the fourth round, and now you're looking at Cam Newton. Mitch Trubisky is average quarterback. It's evident that he has no talent to compete with the quarterbacks that I just named. He can't even sit on a bench with these guys. And Pace will continue to try to push him out in Chicago. The issue has nothing to do with ability. It has something to do with the color of their skin. These quarterbacks are way above Mr. Trubisky. Pace is an idiot as a general manager.
Anthony, we've talked about this before when maybe about 3 weeks ago. I don't have, like, is it maybe some unconscious bias that he has towards a guy like Mitch who reminds him more of himself? But I can't go out and start accusing people of this or that. I understand, though, I hear you, that this is a discussion that's being had. We've had it over the radio. We took several calls on this before. But again, like, this has been a topic that I don't feel comfortable accusing people of without more.
I think he's bad at evaluating quarterbacks. I don't believe he evaluated them and decided on Mitch because of the color of his skin. That's me. I'm one person.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's the route that he took.
Terry on the West Side, you're on ESPN 1008. Terry.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
We're good.
I just wanted to say a couple of things real quick. That the real play of the game wasn't the Robinson interception or whatever they're trying to say about, you know, the underthrow or was it perfect pass or whatever. It was at the 350 mark, I believe, where Mitch had a pass tip and the offensive lineman caught the football. At that point, if the Giants get the ball and go down and score just 3 points at the end of the game, they have enough time and enough timeouts to get the ball again to go for another field goal, which will win the game. So I think that was like the biggest thing, and that the defense kind of needs more motivation. They need momentum, and it's almost like the NBA bubble. When the players are not playing, they're on the sidelines, they're rooting, they're creating hype. Without the fans of Chicago and with Mitch playing subpar, not enough excitement, momentum for the team to build on. It's going to take probably Green Bay or a big scuffle, a big fight on the field or something to get them going. It's going to take some type of I don't know, but it's definitely the offense has to give them more momentum. Like any game that you saw last week, it was nobody's complaining about the defense giving up whatever point. They just know that they scored how many points they scored to win the game. So the Bears definitely just got to do something more on the offense and get it going, and it's just horrible. Like, you can't even pick a Bears player for fantasy football. It's just horrible right now.
The only teams that scored fewer points than the Bears yesterday were the Giants, obviously. They scored 13. Minnesota scored 11. The Jets scored 13 against San Francisco. Carolina scored 17 against Tampa Bay. And Washington scored 15 against Arizona. Houston scored 16 against Baltimore.
Boy, they were bad. I mean, I guess they played two really good teams, but
Houston,
yeah,
they gutted. Bill O'Brien gutted that team when they traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Look how important he is to the kid out in Kyler Murray in Arizona.
And then you don't give the ball to David Johnson after trading for him.
Yeah. That was it. I mean, I think everyone could have recognized that. That one didn't make a lot of sense.
332-3776. Waddle's World is coming up next as we spin around the NFL. What a crazy day it was. And are these injuries an issue because of what we're going through currently in 2020?
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Yes, sir. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. It was a rock'em sock'em weekend in the National Football League, or the very least on Sunday. Have you seen the list of important players, accomplished players? All the players are important, but the accomplished players...
I mean, it's getting longer.
It is. It just something came out. Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton is out with an ACL. Quarterback Drew Lock out 3 to 5 weeks with a shoulder injury. That's already after they lost Vaughn Miller before the regular season kicked off.
Vic Fangio out in 14 weeks.
Good point. We saw Nick Bosa go out. Solomon Thomas go out. Jimmy Garoppolo left with an ankle injury. George Kittle didn't play. That's just the 49ers. We also had Chris Godwin, who was out because of concussion protocol. He'll be back in this week. Anthony Barr, Vikings talented linebacker, has a torn pec. He's going on injured reserve. Colts safety Malik Hooker has a torn Achilles. He's out for the season. Colts Paris Campbell out indefinitely with a PCL injury. Seahawks pass rusher Bruce Irvin, they're fearful that he has a torn ACL. Jets receiver Breshad Perriman out 1 to 2 games with a high ankle sprain. And Ravens' Tavon Young out for the season with a torn ACL. I mean, that's just
McCaffrey's
out with an injury.
Ankle. Isn't Devontae Adams out with a hamstring, too?
Oh, I didn't see that. Is he?
I thought he left yesterday's game because of a hammy.
Obviously, also Saquon Barkley now out with a torn ACL for the year. It's unbelievable.
What do you conclude?
Well, I conclude that this injury update is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org. I don't know. I mean, like, part of me says, well, if you're not in great football shape, then maybe, and by great football shape, I just mean in football shape, as opposed to being in good shape, that maybe that would lead to more of these injuries. But if that was the case, I mean... wouldn't you just see these injuries in training camp? I don't know. I don't know how to say. I don't know that there are more injuries through 2 weeks.
But aren't you more likely to do something like this if your body is if your body is stressed, like it's not being used to being stressed? I'm asking because I don't know the answer.
I think it's a really good question. Unfortunately, I don't know. I mean,
Bosa yesterday? So Nick Bosa gets hurt. He's out.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa in that Chargers game.
Was on the sideline on the final drive.
He wasn't in shape enough to go back in the game at that point. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just asking, if you're not in football shape, is your body more likely to suffer a catastrophic injury?
It's a good question. I don't know. Like, I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo has a high ankle sprain, or Mike Thomas has a high ankle sprain, or Christian McCaffrey has a high ankle sprain because they had an abbreviated offseason. I don't know. My guess would be you could connect those dots, but the majority of them, I don't know. I don't think that's the case.
For that, it's a good conversation.
Again, I think one of the focal points, and we talked about it as the show began, is. There were two really good things about what we saw yesterday. A, the Bears found a way to beat a bad team and get to 2-0. You don't apologize for W's. And they've come through the first 2 weeks pretty much uninjured. It was great to see Robert Quinn back, even with a snap count.
Right.
I mean, his first play as a Bear, I think, was a strip sack, wasn't it?
Yes, first play.
So,
first time he rushed the passer.
Yeah, so McCaffrey's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, Barkley, I mean, you could tell when he went down, what his injury was. That was unfortunate as well. It's a great question. I don't know. I saw a lot of commotion coming out of the Jets and 49ers game, and that there was some thought that the field was the reason, was the culprit for a lot of these injuries that took place. They played on that field all of last year, didn't they? Or did they replace the field?
I don't know.
Oh, they put new turf down. Okay, maybe that's a warranted set of questions, but I don't think I've ever seen a week.
The Niners were not happy, right?
Correct. Yeah. I don't know that I've seen a week in recent years you had that many prominent players find themselves banged up. So, I mean, those are some season-changing injuries right there that you've seen.
Absolutely.
And by the way, the 49ers still beat the Jets 31-something.
They had a couple colossal-like blunders.
Third and 31?
Yes.
I believe it was Mostert ran for a 85-yard touchdown.
Yes, and then like the first play of the game too, right? Wasn't the first play of the game they touchdown?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know how Adam Gase gets through the season.
No, I mean, it's a race to see who's fired first, whether it's Dan Quinn in Atlanta or Patricia in Detroit or Gase in New York.
Didn't Mike McCarthy do some stupid stuff, too, in terms of going for two down? He went for two down nine. Kick the extra point, and it makes it a one-score game. Didn't he go for two down nine?
There's a lot of dumb coaches.
I mean,
no, I'm serious. Even Bill Belichick, and he's the greatest coach almost ever, is still punting on fourth and short with Cam Newton, who has been tearing up the Seahawks defense all game. Like, there's just in-game coaching decisions that
I was pissed. I had money on Seattle, and I was pissed at Pete Carroll for the play
call
on
third
and one with the MVP. I know he completed a bunch downfield, but to me, again, like, you're third and one, and you pick up a first down, the game's pretty much over, and you decided to throw one that deep?
Same point I was trying to make with the Bears on Sunday as well, on third and short. You'd gotten to where you were with 3 minutes to go by running the football, and you chose to throw it twice.
You can't teach old ball coaches new tricks, man. It's just the same thing over and over again.
Same thing. It was the Super Bowl. Pete Carroll goes, yeah, let's throw the ball at the goal line instead of give it to Marshawn Lynch.
Russell Wilson.
You know, controlling things, and let him either run the ball or hand it off to Carson and do something like that.
I will say this on the other side, though. I'm not sure I've ever seen a Bill Belichick defense give up five touchdowns, passing touchdowns. I'm sure it has happened, but I didn't see that. I mean, Russell Wilson is arguably, outside of Patrick Mahomes, he's the best player in the NFL.
Well, right, and he's in through 2 weeks, he's the MVP.
He is. I mean,
the interception was not on him. It was on our guy Greg Olsen.
Yeah. But my point was, you see how well coached that team is. Like Josh McDaniels, they've taken Cam. Cam's healthy. That's the one thing that stands out most of all, that Cam is healthy, and you give him all the credit in the world for getting himself right and getting himself back. But he's healthy for the first time. He probably wasn't healthy in 2016 or 17 or 18 or 19. He only played two games last
year. Remember what Greg Olsen said to us, that he couldn't believe some of the games that he actually played in because he was so torn up during the week.
Yeah, and that's why I think that for the most part, there were a lot of teams that weren't willing to take the chance. Anyway, he finds himself in New England. And they have put together a plan. Like, Julian Edelman is still a fantastic player. He's playing on one leg. And I think he had almost 200 yards of receiving. 200 yards receiving.
Yeah, it was like it's a career game.
Yeah,
like
he had a career high. Yep.
Name four guys on that Patriots offense other than Cam.
Right. And they were without James White. What a tragic story that was.
So what McDaniels has done is taken a guy in Cam Newton who is playing with a purpose and is healthy for the first time in probably 3 or 4 years. And they put it on. I get it. Seattle lost some guys. One of their safeties was kicked out early. They lost another cornerback. But what they've been able to do, just putting together a game plan and letting Cam execute it, it's been a thing to watch the first couple weeks of this season. So
the NFL's been good. It's been very good. Tonight should be, you know what? Tonight I'm predicting is going to be a sneaky good game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders and the Abdallah asked me, Derek Carr or Mitch? I would like Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
By the way, to go back to that question, I think I said no to Garner Minshew.
No, see,
I think I did. I think I said they're all the same.
You said they're all. You said they're. You said you named three quarterbacks that are the same, and you said there's. When I went to one, you said definitely Mitch, and that was Baker Mayfield.
That was Baker. I said I'd take Mitch over Baker, but
I said no. Game on the line, one drive, you have to go 90 yards, Baker. You're going Baker.
It's fair.
What about Phillip Rivers at this stage?
I think I'm still taking Phillip.
Yeah, I trust him to be able to pick up a playbook.
Yeah, at least he'll make it interesting. Yeah. some Cubs news. You guys want some Cubs news?
Is it about Schwarber? What's it about Schwarber's in the lineup tonight.
No, Schwarber's grounded tonight. He's in the lineup. They've moved Bryant down to fifth in the order.
Does he still only have five RBIs on the season?
Yes.
Last I checked. Yeah, yeah. He has as many RBIs as I have fingers on my right hand.
Two home runs in 30 games.
Jose Quintana will be activated and start tomorrow against the Pirates.
They could use that.
How'd you feel about your baseball team this weekend?
It's two runs, Waddle, against the Twins. Two runs.
Well, you knew the Twins were coming in ready to play.
I know that, but and again, like it's exactly what Abdallah said earlier, and I know we have to break. Like, I was mad in 18. I was a tad mad in 19. But how much more mad can I get in 20 when I've seen the same damn problem for 3 years? This team in September, they don't hit. And it's not because of Joe. It's not because of chili. It's not because of circus animals and magic shows.
Pajamas.
It's for whatever reason these guys have underperformed.
Hey, when we come back, I have the nuttiest story of the day, and it is a doozy. This hour brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available on 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, you know what time it is? Time for the nuttiest story of the day, and it's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, which we had in the studio on Friday. Very delicious.
I had some this weekend. It hit the spot.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Excellent.
Put an ice cube in that.
Ooh, yeah.
Sip it.
Yep.
While you're sweating out an under.
Yeah.
College football.
You know what they say, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty. They've been like our newcomer of the year.
I think so.
I think, you know?
I agree.
Shout out to them.
All right, here's your nuttiest story of the day. And I will at some point here get an assistance. Yes, from
my assistant,
Adam Abdallah. Oh, you just wait a second.
We're going to do a little role playing. Theater of the mind.
Woman told officer, I have to poop so bad. Before a high-speed chase. An Oklahoma woman who refused to cooperate during a traffic stop sparked a high-speed chase and guns being drawn in a neighborhood. 28-year-old Emily Owens was initially pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt. She also did not have a license for her insurance. The only form of identification she had on was her medical marijuana card. Body camera footage shows what happened next.
Ma'am, your license has been suspended.
Why?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I'm waiting to see if you have warrants out.
But I have to poop so bad. Why would you just let me go?
Because your license is suspended.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Otherwise, I wouldn't drive no more. But can I please go home and go poop?
That's when the officer calls for backups.
I don't understand why the officer would be on the CB with the person.
Yeah, he is. Why are you ruining the bit?
Yeah,
no,
stop.
We're trying to do a good. We're trying to have a good time here and have fun on a Victory Monday,
right.
Even though the offense sucked and you're derailing the bit.
You're forcing the CB.
You know
what?
You just sit there and continue to kick the defense. All right.
We didn't even get to the part where she asked the officer if she could poop in her car.
Let's go.
No, it's done. No, I don't quit.
Don't you quit.
It's done
don't
now.
Don't quit on me. Get
come
back.
On, Abdallah. I'm back on your CB.
I need backup. We got warrants out for this woman here in Woods County. I don't need backup right now.
No, they are not. Blank you guys.
That's when the woman sped off and the police chase ensued.
Owens blew through stop signs in a school zone. She eventually stopped and surrendered when officers pointed their guns at her. Owens would not let the subject drop as she was cuffed and taken to a squad car. Can I poop in your car, man?
Did she end up pooping in her pants?
Come on, you're not done yet.
You could have been already on your way to jail.
Yeah, but not pooping.
They found a pipe in her car.
Yeah, they did. So she,
and you guys are not going to Second City.
It's because you heckled us.
That's because improv is gross.
No, stop it.
You heckled us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the Louisiana man who was found to have a loaded pistol in his buttocks during a jail strip search pleaded guilty today to weapons and contraband charges, court records show. Police confronted a man and a female acquaintance after spotting suspicious activity at the woman's residence. During a pat-down, cops recovered a concealed handgun, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. They also subsequently seized several other guns from the man's truck, as well as a homemade silencer. He had a gun in his butt.
Hope he had the safety on.
Yeah, a 25 caliber Titan pistol concealed in his rear end. I think it's time to play a game, unless you want to ruin that, too.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbing.
I think this would be a great song.
Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
You know, I always reference somebody who has bad gas as loading the butt gun.
Seems like something Luke Bryant would write.
I have a butt gun.
Since he writes a bunch of crap anyway. Woman arrested in topless rampage at McDonald's.
What is she doing topless at McDonald's?
A topless woman wearing only her bottoms was observed by a security camera vandalizing a McDonald's. In a video that has gone viral, the woman is seen shoving cash registers onto the floor, overturning drink dispensers, and throwing items at staff herself to some ice cream.
Vero Beach.
Is this over masks, or did she just want ice cream?
She had no shirt on.
She caused about
$10,000 in damage.
Wow. Yeah, this is pretty Florida crazy to me.
That's how I feel. It's too chilly out to be running around topless in Ohio.
Vero Beach, baby.
I'm going to go Tallahassee.
A woman was topless and destroyed a McDonald's in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
There's also a good Waffle House fight on video.
Oh, really?
If you Google that, yeah. And then the woman ends up going, well,
didn't we go to Waffle House one time?
Love Waffle House. Yeah. Through the ruckus, one of the women then is topless after lots of pushing and shoving and stuff. Yes. There's a little bit of everything in this fight, so check that out on the internet. 2 minutes away, your Victory Monday phone calls at 312.
Did you just tell people to check out the internet?
Check out the internet.
Did you say just check out the internet?
Google naked Waffle House fight.
Yes. I don't know if you say, I wouldn't characterize it as a naked Waffle House fight. There was nudity included, but it was a Waffle House fight, and the people were just going on a rampage at a Waffle House I saw over the weekend.
I'd call the police.
All right, the Bears are 2-0, but are you happy? And I've got a question for all you coming up in 2 minutes.